You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
We've got the power.
This is the DM Global Report with Denise Montgomery. We report the world. The DM Global Report is heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. We report the world. The world. I'm Denise Montgomery, and this is the DM Global Report, heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard. 1-877-932-9766. The world has been locked in a downward spiral.
Economy is becoming more dependent on education-based jobs, giving women the advantage as more and more women are receiving higher degrees. Don Tagala has more on that story.
In the wake of the recession, women are on the verge of outnumbering men in the workforce. A 2009 labor statistics report show women already make half of the U.S. non-farm labor force. The Bureau of Labor Statistics, or BLS, predicts more and more women are poised to take better paying jobs more than ever.
It is not only that we have actually now more opportunities for women, they're acknowledged for their capabilities and potentials.
And as the U.S. and global economy shift from a manufacturing economy to education-based jobs and industries, more women are benefiting from this shift. This Filipino-American educator owns the Kaiser University in Florida. Belinda Kaiser and her husband owns about 30 universities worldwide. Kaiser says with a student population of 70% women, more women are getting higher degrees than before.
That's great. You know, studies show that when both parents are educated, the level of their children in terms of education is better. I think the other part of it is I think that when both men and women are educated and they're both decision makers, I think it becomes more of a partnership.
The result, a growing number of women earners is powering what many economic experts label as the she economy. More and more women are also expected to take charge and start their own businesses. Armed with her education at the Penn Foster College, Lina Lercia Calvario started her own wedding planning business online a few years ago. But it was not until last week that she opened her own brick-and-mortar shop in Manhattan.
We're able to do things that, well, not to out-earn our husbands, but, you know, we're given more chance to go after what we really like to do in life. For example, with this business, I mean, my husband supported me 100% when I decided I wanted to do this full-time.
This so-called she economy influences 95% of all purchases and control 80% of the household spending in the U.S. While this rising she economy can be good for the emerging U.S. economy, some kababayan say it might not be good for the traditional Filipino household.
You sacrifice your time with your children, sacrifice the time with your family, and you spend more time working in the office, but in fact, maybe most of your time is actually just spent working.
Economic experts say it is projected that two-thirds of the consumer wealth in the U.S. will be controlled by women in the next decade.
While the U.S. and other countries around the world globally have been locked in recession since 2007, there is something that is coming. It is actually here now. It is the largest global economic market ever in history. I said ever, and that market is the market of women. It's being called the she economy. It is largely related to education of women. And let me tell you, today with me, I have my guest, Steve Carter, from the show Money on TalkTainmentRadio.com. He knows a lot about money, and I'm going to be doing a lot of talking about money today, because really that is what it's about. Women now, because of their economic, their educational achievements, they are also controlling economics. So it is a huge leap. It's a huge paradigm change. Get ready, it's here, and there's more to come. By 2028, that's not long, it's expected that women will make more money than men around the world. And that's, as I said, that's a huge paradigm change, so get ready, but that is the expectation. And it's based on a lot of things. One of the things is that it's education. In the U.S., 58% of college graduates are women. In Brazil, 60%. Brazil, that's one of the BRIC countries, are women. College graduates are women. In China, 65% of the college graduates are women. Now, you know, why is this happening? Why are women graduating and why are men dropping out? And, and in the U.S., men do have very, they have higher dropout rates. There are a lot of factors. I've actually talked to some men lately and I've asked them, you know, why are you not continuing your education? Why are you going to drop out? A lot of it is fear of student loans. They already have student loans from, say, undergrad, and now they may want to go on and pursue a master's or a doctorate. And they say, you know, I already have $70,000 in student loans. I mean, if I continue, I will be broke. So, you know, they're not the ones that are earning the advanced degrees, actually, continuing on master's and doctorate programs are women. And that is, that's a huge change. And let me tell you, like, in the BRIC markets, B-R-I-C, those countries are Brazil, Russia, India, China. These countries, first of all, are 40% of the world's populations. Those four countries are 40% of the world's population. And they are 45% of the global economic growth since 2007. Now, that's since the recession began. Now, when you look at it globally, women control 65% of global spending. That is a huge thing that businesses, companies, multinational companies need to take a look at, because you're going to have to change your strategy when you're marketing to women. Women are a little bit different about their buying. They actually want the same things that men want, but actually they may want a little bit more. So be prepared to offer them that.
Now, Denise, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Now, you started out saying the she economy, right?
Right.
Okay.
That's a name that's been applied to this global emerging market, emerging market.
Right. So what happened to the he economy? I didn't know there was a he economy at some point, but now we're talking about the she economy. And
well, I think historically it's always been a he economy.
He economy. Okay.
But you don't think so? You don't agree with that?
We called that economics, right? We called that wealth. So when it came to man, they didn't have a he economy. They just called it wealth and all
that. It was just the economy run by men. Right.
So the indication that women are moving forward, they got their own special name now, right, called the she economy.
Well, you know, now let me tell you now, actually, right now, just 3% of the Fortune 500 companies are headed up by women. So what does that tell you? It has been a he economy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just want to know, because, you know, as a man, you know, I'm thinking, okay, we got this new term called the she economy. I'm just feeling a little left out, but that's all right.
Well, you know, there's always been that glass ceiling.
Okay.
That women have been trying to breakthrough.
Okay.
Well, they are breaking through it now, and the reason why is because of education, primarily education. So they're breaking through now.
So now, you know, traditionally, and thank you very much for having me on your show now.
Thank you for being here.
And this is a subject that we definitely like to talk about, even on the Money Show as well, and we're glad to be here to represent and to help bring some of what we talk about on money to your show.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm not going to be a part of the she economy, so I'm going to have to have that different perspective. But you know, it is understandable that women traditionally, and statistics shows out that women traditionally make less than a man.
Absolutely.
But that's not necessarily what we're talking about here. We're talking about in terms of women having economic power. And so, I like the point that you made earlier.
But also their increase in income is coming.
Well,
by 2028, it's predicted that women globally will be making more money than men. And that's in developing countries,
right,
in developed countries. It is in the Middle East, where women are now attending college in greater numbers. It's in China, Japan.
Well, you know, when you were talking about that, it's something that came to mind, because you were talking about the BRIC market, you know, mm-hmm. the various countries, the developing countries and so forth. But let's take a look at even Russia or, you know, maybe in the Middle East and places like that, where traditionally women didn't work.
Right.
You know, traditionally women didn't work in the workplace. And so so now a lot of that's changing.
And it is changing. Women are starting to work, but not only are they starting to work, they're also being educated. It was always a male-dominated education system. The male children were educated in, say, in Africa, in the Middle East,
right,
private schools. Daughters were not. That's changing. The mothers are going to make sure that their daughters are changing. I want to take a break now. I want to talk about a show that is very special to TalkTainmentRadio.com. That is Charlita Tavares, when she gives the state news and views a committed public servant. Her state and national reputation as a leader in the areas of health and human services have been instrumental. While she has served as the chair of the council's Health and Human Development Committee, she also serves on the Finance, Development, Public Service, and Transportation, Recreation, and Parks and Zoning Committees. She is broadcast live Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Now, Steve, I didn't mean to so rudely interrupt you, but I just want to, okay,
no,
let's
get
back.
That she economy just threw me.
I know,
but
it is a paradigm. It's a paradigm shift.
Thing,
I know. You might. I don't know what you're going to have to. You have to regroup after
the show.
Yeah, I'm
going to regroup. Yeah, this whole she economy thing. You know, the one thing that I was thinking, because you, as you were bringing up this subject, you know, and you had the points, the talking points before you came on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's only, and not to get into gender biases or gender stereotypes.
Right.
Okay. However, in this world, there is a man and a woman.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
We'll just leave it at that at this point.
Okay.
Okay, we have a man and a woman. So half the world is going to be man and half the world is going to be women. I mean, technically, right?
Technically speaking.
Yeah, okay, let's, you know, but besides the fact that, you know, how many more women are born than, I mean, girls are born than boys, so forth and so
mm-hmm.
forth. But still, on this earth, you know, we only have a man and a woman, so there's only two genders that we have. So now we're talking about a she economy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, My thinking is, you know, in certain areas, let's just talk about the United States, for example, because, you know, one thing that we can talk about is like, okay, women are making more money, more opportunities, while women are getting more education throughout the world. But I was just thinking in terms of the United States, you know, and I don't know this for a fact, but the correlation
mm-hmm.
between the types of jobs that are being displaced. You know, for example, we're not manufacturing.
Right, manufacturing.
You know.
Well, and that's what's hurt men so much is the recession, because men traditionally have been in more of manufacturing the trades, manufacturing.
Heavy types of jobs that have been outsourced to China and different places, you know,
right.
Mexico, you know, and those types of things. And so a lot of traditional men employment is not there anymore either. You know, that traditional middle class type of job where the guy would, you know, maybe work for GE or
right.
GM
right.
Or,
right.
or, you know, working. You know, I remember at a young age, you know, I worked in a glass factory
mm-hmm.
and it was all men. It mm-hmm. weren't women. You know,
right.
we were in a factory and I remember as a young person, I worked in a grain factory.
Mm-hmm.
It was all men. So all of a sudden, a lot of those jobs aren't
those jobs are gone.
Yeah. And so.
And then the recession has taken out more jobs, say, the building industry.
Oh, the building industry.
Building industry,
okay. Yeah.
The manufacturing sector. Those have been pretty much decimated in the United States and in other countries
right.
around the world. So, again, but what has protected women is women were more involved in, say, health sectors.
Right.
Or other type
administrative type things.
Customer service type
right.
industries.
Okay, teaching.
And, in fact, teaching. And,
mm-hmm.
and those jobs have held steady.
Right.
So those are, for one, the women are still employed.
That's right.
Okay?
Right.
They have not faced the unemployment rate in say, particularly the United States, that males have.
Right.
So that has given them a leg up already.
Yeah, so we don't have women coal miners. Maybe a few, right?
There are coal miners.
You know, the construction, the commercials, big tall buildings.
A very good
buildings.
Friend of mine. She's an electrician. I mean,
right.
she did tall buildings.
But that's one of very few, right? So
right.
Yeah.
Well,
so
and yeah, she was few in her.
Yeah.
Trade.
Right. So women in trades, that's still an area. But
right.
But you know, so a lot of that there's a lot of so in terms of the she economy, we're going to be talking about a lot of different reasons. But that was just one of the first things that came to mind in
right.
terms of just here in the United States as opposed to
in the United States, I don't want to interrupt you, but in the United States, 1 in 5 men between the ages of 25 and 54 are not working presently. 1 in 5.
One
and
in
it's
five.
Because of those sectors
yeah.
that they were in that had been hardest hit.
Right.
But at the same time, women are in school. They're pursuing. Now I'll tell you what. They're pursuing their advanced degrees. Men are not. More women in the United States are granted doctorates now than men.
So
more women earn doctorates than men.
Okay, but
let me tell you another thing.
Go ahead.
In law school and medical school, those figures now are even. It used to be it was a male-dominated, those were male-dominated
okay.
fields, law and medicine. Now the enrollment in law schools and medical schools is equal between men and women.
All right. So
mm-hmm.
so we're talking, you said by 2028 or even we're in 2012 now, so
right.
let's say the next 10 years.
Right.
You're going to get a lot more professional
women
in the workforce, you know, with doctorate degrees, CPAs.
Actually.
Your traditional lawyer, doctor, CPA type of thing, you know.
Right.
We're going to see more women in those roles as opposed to men.
Actually, right now, globally, the women between the ages of 19 and 29 are the best, are the highest educated group of women that have ever existed on
okay.
the planet at any given time.
Right.
Any given time. Right now. So these are the women, they are positioned, okay, they're positioned to make that leap. And a lot of them, they're crossing traditional down boundaries. They're going into legal, they're going into medicine. They're going into technology. IT, technology has always, from the beginning, it was a kind of a male-dominated field. And now more and more women are going into IT,
well,
information technology.
When you first asked me to be on the show, we were
mm-hmm.
going to talk about women and the trends, but then when you hit that word, she economy, it just blew me out the water. I can't get off of it, you know. It's like, okay, we're talking about in a very elegant way about how women are going to be dominating in terms of economics and like I said, we're going to keep talking about that. But I'm thinking I might start some type of he economy movement. I got to do that, the he economy.
But
thing.
We have always had that,
okay.
Steve. We've
all
always
right.
had that. Okay. When you say that three. That,
I got to
that
tell. I got
when
to tell all my
Fortune 500
friends. I got to tell them. I say, hey man, we're in trouble. I got to let everybody.
Okay.
Let the guys
but
know.
No, but wait a minute. It's right now. Just 3% of Fortune 500 companies are headed by women. So don't start panicking yet, okay? Give it a little time. It's incubating, okay?
Well, you know, when it comes to, but I'm not talking about the Fortune 500, but according to you, you know, when I look in the yellow pages, it's going to be all women lawyers. When I look in the yellow pages, it's going to be all women doctors. Right?
Well, it might be about 65%.
Yeah, so that's something that.
But let me give you another thing. As I said, 65% of women control women control 65% of global spending, and women control more than 80% of U.S. spending, 80%. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio and the home of Brother K, educating to liberate on Conversate in the AM. Stay right there. Coming up next, Midas, Motrin, Nordstrom on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
7,000 high school students drop out every school day, stack their desks one atop the other, and it's a pile more than 17,000 feet high. Go to boostup.org and learn how you can help. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
This is Salif Diarra, a local health worker in a remote village in Mali, West Africa. This is Mori, a child who survived malaria because of Salif's efforts. This is Bintu, a grateful mother, one of many in Salif's village. This is you becoming part of the story. Help local health workers like Salif make the good go even further. Visit goodgoes.org to see the many ways you can help. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
I'm a champion. Realize Shaq's mechanism.
Hi, Shaquille O'Neal for Rad. It's not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Just stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent, 1 in 260,000. The odds of him having 15 career NASCAR victories, 1 in 1.7 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 110. I'm Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism.
Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Peace Corps, life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
You know that the ice cream scoop has the power to make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the golf tee brings friends together, that the mailbox keeps them connected. You know that the cataract laser helps you look to the future, while the pacemaker ensures that there's a future to be seen. You know that the lawnmower, the clothes dryer, and the elevator make life easier. That the blood bank makes life possible. You know that these things we count on every day started as ideas. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support minority education today so we don't miss out on the next big idea tomorrow. The United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Please visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
If you run without scissors,
it's the least you can do.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
I'm Denise Montgomery, and this is the DM Global Report, heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard, 1-877-932-9766.
Maria Trakas Portamore looks over every detail of her four Luna Grill restaurants.
Did you get your Euros entree?
Maria grew up in the restaurant business and says women haven't always been taken seriously.
As a woman, you definitely have to work harder to hear your voice heard.
But that's changing, not only from 30 years ago when her family was in the business.
But definitely even in the last 9-10 years, there's been a big change.
Women are becoming the dominant force in the economy.
San Diego State Marketing Professor George Belt says the influence of women in today's economy is so profound, it has its own name, she-economy.
Well, she economy basically refers to the emergence of women as the dominant force in the economy.
Today, women outnumber men on most college campuses and are equal to men in the workforce. In fact, studies show that women could soon make up a greater percentage of white-collar professionals.
We are moving from a manufacturing economy to more of a service and a management economy. And as we move there, women are more better trained to take on those particular positions.
This she economy is becoming so widespread that some people are actually concerned that men will be left behind.
Young men aren't as motivated. They're not working as hard. They're not going to college at the same rate that women are. And we're just seeing this fundamental shift.
A shift that could make its way from the boardrooms of Wall Street to the restaurants of San Diego. A changing economy with its own name.
In a consumer standpoint, but in a managerial standpoint, and as an owner, an operator.
Okay, Steve, what did you think that you were making a comment there. So.
No, I was talking about the she economy, you know, and I really appreciate what you're bringing up in terms of, you know, women. But, you know, how do you discuss this type of subject when it comes to the gender? You know, because men have a traditional mindset, man, you know, let's just talk about a different country, for example. How does that change, per se, in a place like China, you know, where you have more women, you know, that are becoming into the workforce and more women who are making money? You know, it's you know, we're talking about this economy, but at the same time, it seems as it's going to really upset the balance of traditional society and the roles of men and women.
Absolutely, absolutely. The she economy is going to shake up a lot of things. It is going to impact not only education, but it's going to impact marketing.
Right.
Hugely.
That's
one thing. There's some marketing things I want to talk about. It's going to impact branding.
Yeah.
It's going to impact even fertility levels. It's going to impact testosterone levels.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So I'm going to get around to some of those. But let's go to the marketing thing. This is an interesting piece. And it was Midas. They realized they had a lot of female customers coming in. And so at first they said, well, you know, they figured out that women, one thing is that because women are controlling global spending, 65% of global spending,
right,
80% of U.S. spending, they realized, okay, some of these companies that are on the, they've got it. They're getting it. They are saying, we have got to market things differently. Women, when they shop, they are looking for first of all, you have to acknowledge her influence, okay? A company, a business has to acknowledge her influence. And that is that, you know, you have to realize that women, when they are shopping, they are looking for an experience. They want that experience that is going to build a satisfying relationship.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, you're talking about Midas. You brought up Midas.
That's Midas. I'm going to talk.
Is that the muffler place?
The Midas, yes, Midas muffler. So what they did is they kind of did some research within, and they found out from the mechanics that the women liked to know who was working on their car. They actually even wanted to talk to them.
Okay.
Okay,
all
so
right.
The men were okay with that, mostly men. They were okay with that. They were fine with it. That was okay. So then they came out with a kind of a handbook, and they sent it out to all the Midas stores. And most of them, they said some of them trashed it. About a third of them never looked at it.
Okay.
And it just went nowhere. So then they redid it, and they realized, they said, you know, there is something to this. We've got to be able to give these women what they want because they are. So it turned out that the guys actually liked the experience of talking with the women. And so they developed a concept called GET, which was greet, explain, and thank. Very simple, but it was satisfying for the female customers. Now Dell, on the other hand, Dell Computers.
Okay.
They came out with a Della website. And actually, it ended up, women ended up blogging about it, how negative it was because it was so girly and pink and fluffy. And so women felt that, you know, it's like, you're not taking me seriously. Okay? If you're not taking me seriously, I'm not going to buy your product. Well, when Midas, let's get back to Midas, when they did that turnaround, they started it in Philadelphia. Their sales went up 13%.
Okay.
When they noticed that, they took it to St. Louis. Same thing happened. And then they took it around the U.S., and their stores, some stores made a 180-degree turnaround in their sales when they started just the GET, the greet, the explain, and the thank. And that's, you know, that's why I said you have to acknowledge her influence. It's respecting your customer. Women want the same thing men want when they are purchasing, but they want a little bit more. So the other thing, Nordstrom has a great policy for women. Nordstrom is one of the most expensive retailers when you shop there. But Nordstrom does a lot of things really well. When it comes to women, they have lounges for women to nurse their babies. They also have a return policy that, you know, when you're shopping for family members, they're not with your children, your husband, your spouse, they're not with you. You can return anything to Nordstrom. They will take it, no questions asked. And the other thing is that when women are shopping, they even have a shoe tying. If you have your preschool children with you,
right,
they have a little shoe tying clinic that they take the children and they let them go into a little area, a little kind of play area, and they teach them something constructive, teach them how to tie their shoe, things like that. Women, you have to. They're the consumers now. They're the ones making the marketing decisions. So let me ask you, are you paying too much for the things you like and love? What do you think, Steve? Do you think most people are?
Am I paying too much? I'm always paying too much, especially with the gas prices. You know, you're talking about the emergence of women and the power of marketing, and I can see that pretty much in terms of marketing, because if you're having more women in the workforce, if you're having more women who are making more money, even on a global perspective, you have to market your goods to, you know, who's buying. And not only do you market to who's buying, but you have to market to who's actually, you know, purchasing it as well, because it may not be you know, women may go to you know, buy something for their kids, you know, so, or they may buy something electronic, a TV or something like that. Men generally, in a traditional way, will defer to a woman's decision. You know, because see, again, I'm gonna get back into that relationship thing. You talked about marketing.
They're doing it to keep peace at
home. Oh yeah, yeah. Man's gonna keep peace at home. He's gonna say whatever you buy is fine with me. Yeah. So you know, we didn't have to have a she economy to tell us that the women are in control. You know, so a lot of that's how that works. You know, the worst thing you can do is to tell a woman that, you know, what you just bought didn't make sense. That's just, you know,
yeah,
woman.
That will go over like a lead balloon.
Yeah, a woman would never forgive you on that. So in terms of the marketing, I can see that, you know, a lot. The thing that I'm thinking about when you're talking about marketing, even on a global perspective, is that you're going to probably get more women who are going to be in those marketing departments, you know, and more women who are going to be deferred to.
But actually right now, it is it's about 3% of women that are actually active in the marketing campaigns in the world.
Yeah, so those.
That's telling companies, if you're listening in,
yeah, 3%,
you might want
to
start hiring some more women.
Yeah, so those women, those
you
companies.
You need some of their input.
Yeah,
right.
So those companies that are bringing more women into their management structures and their decision making, they're the ones that are going to survive a lot more so than those who still have that glass ceiling you're talking about. So,
right.
You know, I can see that. I can see that.
Now, you know, the thing is that globally, women consumers control $20 trillion in consumer spending, $20 trillion. So they make the final decision, and 91% of homes purchased, 65% of new cars purchased, 80% of healthcare choices, and 66% of computer purchases, which was traditionally a male area. And that's something, too, Best Buy did, and they did it really well. They started what was called the Wolf. And so what they did is they got like focus groups within their store, female employees, but also female shoppers. And they set them up, and they did wolf packs and wolf dens. And they said, you know, tell us what's wrong. What's wrong with the layout? And you know what a lot of it was? It was the layout of the store. Women did not like, when you went into Best Buy, what the stores looked like. So it's like, you know, make it look more like, if you're going to be buying a television in there, make it look more like where you might see a television, like in a family room or in a living room.
Okay.
Make it look more like it's the place. So the women, and that was one of the large things that Best Buy found. Now, you know, I talked about women shoppers and acknowledging their influence. And one of the other things that you have to do that they're finding is you have to join her circle. Now, women nowadays, they are the bloggers of the world, okay? Motrin did an ad, and women perceived it as being very, I'm not going to just say, I just won't describe it. They were not happy with the ad. They started a Motrin blog. This thing went viral around the world.
All right.
Okay? And you know what? Motrin shut it down because they realized they had to listen to their consumer.
She was
their consumer.
Right.
And they were offending her. So, you know, the thing is that women, on Facebook, women are 62% of the participants of Facebook. And they have opened up their own community on there. And they will talk to their friends about products, what to buy, where they bought it, where it's a good store to shop in. Leave this one, don't go to that one. Now, the interesting thing, in Indonesia, okay, they have the little markets. You have the little markets everywhere.
Right.
Fruit, vegetable markets, you know, your pastries, your breads. They have those little markets. So when the big supermarkets or hypermarkets came in, they thought, you know, we've got it. You know, this is fine. Those are going to be done. What they found out is the women did not stop going to those little neighborhood markets because you know why? That's where they traded information with each other.
That's right.
That's where they talked.
Okay.
That was their blog space, quote. That was their blog space in Indonesia. They were talking and they were trading information with each other. Women are information gatherers and they trade it off and they say. And another thing is you have to understand her similarities. And this is one thing. You have to understand how women balance their time, money, and their well-being. Those are all important factors. And that women tend to go through like an unconscious dialogue when they are making decisions, particularly about the welfare of their family. Say purchases, making significant cost expenditures, they go through a dialogue within themselves. So you have to understand her similarities.
Now, I wanted to ask you, see, again, I'm a man, so, you know, for the women, they can relate to all of these things. But as a man, you know, talking about the she economy, I want to say something.
Okay, go
it's
right
always
ahead.
Been a she economy. I don't know of anything else but a she economy because women buy more than anything else. And let me share with you what I'm saying. Women buy more shoes than men. I mean, you know, I don't know too many
guys. I have to agree with
you
on that.
Yeah, women buy more shoes, you know. Most men I know, we won't buy another pair of shoes until those things are just about worn out, you know. But women will buy shoes just because.
Right. They like the shoe.
Yeah,
I love this shoe and it's going to go with that one dress I have. Right.
You know, a man can go out to the, you know, to a social spot and he'll buy a couple of drinks, but the woman, she'll go buy shoes as opposed to that. That's her relaxation. So a woman can have, you know, maybe 20, 25 pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so women in general, when we're talking about, you know, women in terms of the economy,
mm-hmm.
you also got to look at, again, like I said, there's only two genders, a man and a woman. You know, women traditionally, starting out as a little girl,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a little person, the young ladies are going to have more clothes than the young men. You know, the young, you know, they're going to have the nice dresses and they're going to have, you know, they're going to grow up with the nice accessories and
mm-hmm.
the hairdos and the hairdressers and all of those things that men traditionally growing up,
they're not involved and they don't really care about.
A young man, he can have two or three pair of pants, a couple pair of jeans,
fine.
A couple to choose, yep. a couple of jackets. And a comb for his hair and maybe a little bit of lotion, and that's it.
They're good to go.
They're good to go. But a young lady is going to have all of those fancy products to do her hair, all those fancy products to do her skin,
right.
all those other fancy products. And so that's something that I also like to talk about a little bit later.
Okay. We will, but I want to tell you something else right now, and this is interesting. And that is that in the U.S., 51.3% of U.S. women hold the U.S., the United States private wealth. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. We go where you go. Check us out on WCRS-FM 98.3 and 102.1. And also on your smartphone or tablet. Go to TalkTainmentRadio.com for the podcast and blogs. Listen live and participate by calling 1-877-932-9766. Stay right there. More on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
7,000 high school students drop out every school day. Stack their desks one atop the other, and it's a pile more than 17,000 feet high. Go to boostup.org and learn how you can help. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
This is Salif Diarra, a local health worker in a remote village in Mali, West Africa. This is Mori, a child who survived malaria because of Salif's efforts. This is Bintu, a grateful mother, one of many in Salif's village. This is you, becoming part of the story. Help local health workers like Salif make the good go even further. Visit goodgoes.org to see the many ways you can help. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
I'm a champion. Realize checks mechanism. Yeah.
Hi, Shaquille O'Neal for Rad. This is not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent, 1 in 260,000. The odds of him having 15 career NASCAR victories, 1 in 1.7 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 110. I'm Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism.
Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
You know that the ice cream scoop has the power to make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the golf tee brings friends together, that the mailbox keeps them connected. You know that the cataract laser helps you look to the future, while the pacemaker ensures that there's a future to be seen. You know that the lawnmower, the clothes dryer, and the elevator make life easier. That the blood bank makes life possible. You know that these things we count on every day started as ideas. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support minority education today so we don't miss out on the next big idea tomorrow. The United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Please visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
I'm Denise Montgomery, and this is the DM Global Report, heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard. 1-877-932-9766.
Maria Trakas Portamore looks over every detail of her four Luna Grill restaurants.
Did you get your Euros entree?
Maria grew up in the restaurant business and says women haven't always been taken seriously.
As a woman, you definitely have to work harder to hear your voice heard.
But that's changing, not only from 30 years ago when her family was in the business.
But definitely even in the last 9-10 years, there's been a big change.
Women are becoming the dominant force in the economy.
San Diego State Marketing Professor George Belt says the influence of women in today's economy is so profound, it has its own name, SheEconomy.
Well, she economy basically refers to the emergence of women as the dominant force in the economy.
Today, women outnumber men on most college campuses and are equal to men in the workforce. In fact, studies show that women could soon make up a greater percentage of white-collar professionals.
We are moving from a manufacturing economy to more of a service and a management economy. And as we move there, women are better trained to take on those particular positions.
This SheEconomy is becoming so widespread that some people are actually concerned that men will be left behind.
Young men aren't as motivated. They're not working as hard. They're not going to college at the same rate that women are. And we're just seeing this fundamental shift.
A shift that could make its way from the boardrooms of Wall Street to the restaurants of San Diego, a changing economy with its own name.
In a consumer standpoint, but in a managerial standpoint, and as an owner, an operator.
This is Denise Montgomery on the DM Global Report. Be joined by Steve Carter from the show Money on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Well, it's been a very enjoyable time talking with you about the she economy, and I can imagine how this is not for the traditional man. This is probably something that is a wake-up call. What do you think?
Actually, it is, and it's interesting. I had done some reading about these were things that were going on in Europe. There was a French banker, a female French banker, and she was saying that she makes her income is five times that of her significant other. And so what she does is she pays for the large ticket items when they say vacations, and he pays when they say when they go out to dinner. And it's a system they've worked out that's actually fine for them. She said actually he brags to his friends about her. Now that's one couple's experience. There was another banker, and another French banker, and she said that actually her husband, they had divorced, and he told her, he said, I'm going to be with this woman. She's a physiotherapist. And he said, because she has time for me and she doesn't bring her BlackBerry to bed. Okay. So men want that companion that has time. And you have very ambitious women out there that are pretty absorbed by their career path and where they're going. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there has to be some kind of balance that has to come into play. Now that's a problem. And there was an Italian quote I read from an Italian male, and he said that, his girlfriend, she was, a senior VP with a company, and he said, you know, I cannot seduce her anymore. So,
Now, how do you, you researching this, and you know, mm-hmm. and you're bringing it to the air, and I think it's a very good point. You know, in terms of you, how does this make, you know, in terms of what you're thinking, what are some reflections that you have in terms of seeing that there's a change in the marketing, there's a change in a global perspective, and there's a change now. You know, what are some things that you are personally thinking about, some things that you personally see?
Some things that I personally, actually I've been talking to men and women lately the last couple of days mm-hmm. about this topic, and I've gotten some, I told you about the men that were concerned about staying in college or continuing their education because of the money. They know they're going to be mired down in student loans. And there may be something else going on. There may be something. It may be because some of these women have children. So, you know, maybe they're getting some special student aid type packages because they have some dependents. It could be a single mother with children. So she's getting some extra, maybe possible aid that, say, a single man would not be getting.
No, that's true.
And that's something I thought about as a possibility.
No, there is a lot of women. You know, if you remember the changes in the welfare to work things. And so what you
welfare
have.
Welfare to work. Yeah. Workforce yeah, under Clinton.
Under
President
Clinton.
Clinton.
And so that started a lot of monies that opened up for not just women. It wasn't targeted towards women, but naturally a lot of women who had kids, they were on public assistance and mm-hmm. things like that. So a lot of monies opened up. You see this opening up of a lot of these schools, these different names, you know, the Bradfords and the
right.
and you know the Capellas and you know and all these different
right.
types of school names, and that they were targeting
women,
the lower income women who are, because see, they either had to go to school or go to work to not get that public assistance. And so you're getting a lot of women now who are getting educated.
In
so
the U.S., is, in the yeah. U.S., that could be it. I don't know what the programs in are in other countries.
Right.
But you know, at the college level, women are graduating at such higher levels. They're 60% of all graduate students. And they've earned more doctorates. They've earned more doctorates than men now. So the problem is they're saying now they may have to be coming out with an affirmative action plan, some type of affirmative action plan in colleges to actually recruit men or enroll more men. This is actually being talked about because, you know, men are just not attending college on the level that women are. So if, you know, that's why women are making this huge leap into these higher paying careers, into areas they were not in before. So there's actually talk about that there's social issues, and one of them is that. The other issues, you know, we talked about the relationship issue. Another thing, as I've talked about with some friends, And they were saying that it's hard to date. You know, one woman, senior VP in one of the articles I read, she advises young women to get married when you're in your 20s or 30s. And then you have your life partner, because she said then they grow with you. But she said don't, you know, but that's the opposite of what women are doing. Women are deferring getting married. They're getting married older. They're having their children at 30s, late 30s and 40s. And so that's the opposite of what they're doing. And by that time, then they want to get married. Well, you know, you have, what is it? There may be like a little bit of an ego problem. I mean, a lot of women I've talked to, they're saying, a friend of mine was telling me his 28-year-old sister. She works for a multinational company. She travels around the world. She's 28. He said she can't date. She doesn't date anyone because he says she has like everything on the ball going for her, but she does not date anyone because she'll go out on a date or two and then she'll say, you know, something like, and he'll say, you know, why aren't you going to be in town? She says, well, I'm going to be in China. He says, in China. So, you know, she said men are put off by the fact that she's this international woman. You know, remember that song by Babyface, She's International? She's this international woman that's traveling, and he doesn't have that type of job. So he said his sister was thinking about, well, maybe I'll start looking at, a male that's maybe 10 to 11 years older than me, maybe more mature or something.
Now, let me share some things in terms of, and I'm glad that we're getting into this type of subject because, you know, the she economy is as stated. You know, we know that women are expanding. We know that women have more buying power. But what is it really doing on a personal level to people, right? And so I do have friends that meet, you know, women, especially women, like you said, professional women, you know, and that's like, we have to be a, you know, I don't want to get too far on the professional women thing in terms of education, but because you have a lot of women who don't necessarily have master's degrees and things like that, but they work their way up through companies, and so they do have responsible positions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always related to education, but women tend to be a little bit more responsible and they tend
ambitious,
to be
ambitious,
and they tend to be more supervisors. So in general, you'll have women who, let's say, get divorced.
Right.
And here they are divorced, and let's say they're 35, 40, 45, somewhere around that. A couple kids, maybe not. But they have this stature, this job, this buying power.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, now they're out in this area, and they say, okay, I like to meet another man.
Right.
And the chance of them meeting another man that matches their income level, their education
right.
level is it gets very gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
Right.
So that's another, you know, impact of this whole she economy.
Right.
You know?
Right. And it actually is I was reading another thing. It was a woman that had been she was over Match.com in Germany, and she said that what they found there were that men tended to bypass. Overlook almost entirely the women that were making, say, 200,000 plus. They just did not, they didn't consider them. Even though they might be making that amount of money, they did not consider those women. They did not want a woman that was maybe even at their equal income or definitely not more. And so this was, I'm sure some of the other dating services are finding the same thing that, you know, when they give people their, you know, here are your matches, you've got, you know, 60 matches, and you're looking at the person's, a woman might say, might put in, you know, that she makes such and such amount of money. Well, if she's in that $200,000-$300,000 category, her matches might be pretty kind of slim to none. But if it's a woman that's a middle income, you know, maybe $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, you know, maybe she's going. I bet you she's going to get more matches.
Well, you know, here's on another human side of that.
If that's the case, if that's holding true.
Now let's look at and let's stay with the gender thing because you know that stuck with me when we first got started. There's
right.
a male and there's a female.
Right.
Now we're talking about the she economy and the emergence of women becoming more powerful.
Right.
And so now think in terms of people, whether it's couples or whether it's things that are out there to be purchased. But let's say a man and a woman are together, and the woman has more buying power than that man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much say-so is he going to have in his household? How much say-so in terms of the colors of the home? Or how much say-so is he going to have in terms of what kind of car they're going to drive. You know, what is the she economy going to do to that home, to the household, mm-hmm. and the masculinity of the man?
Right. Right. Well, you know, like I said, globally, 91% of home purchases are determined by the woman.
Right.
65% of car purchases are determined by the woman.
But see, before. The
it was
woman,
before. It was more of a. It was a couple.
Money. Yeah, it was. She was spending his money.
Okay.
Right.
There you go. So maybe she feels.
Now she's spending her
maybe
money.
Maybe she feels I'm contributing more now. So
yeah.
So definitely.
Yeah.
I have a little more say here.
Yeah. So she's spending her money.
Her. Yeah.
So it's like, you know. So now I'm going to have to ask you. You know, is it okay that I go? And
you have to ask permission.
You have to ask permission. You know, is it in the budget? You know,
is it in your budget this month?
Can I take your credit card to the store, please? You know, right? Right? I mean, because this, you know, because when
it's going to have all kinds of ramifications.
Yeah, when you're talking about the she economy and the emergence of women, it's going to affect other people.
Right.
And it's also going to affect the stereotypes. You know, young men that are going to be growing up. And they're going to be seeing women more in the workforce.
Dominant.
Which is okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And that's a good thing because that breaks that cycle.
Right.
You know, it breaks that cycle. So you're going to see young men see more women in responsible positions.
Right. It breaks that cycle of sexism. You know, it does. Mm-hmm. It breaks that barrier down. I think that's a good thing.
Right.
I think that there's going to have to be a balance there.
Right.
That's the thing. It's coming to that balance.
Yeah, but I can imagine, though, women who are taking advantage, who are growing in that she economy are really probably having problems finding, well, they have to have, you know, like I told you, there's the he economy club that I'm getting ready to start. So what we'll do is instead of having match.com, we'll just have the he economy and we'll have the she economy, and then we can match those two up, you know, so because the men, you know, the men are falling behind, but we got to get them moving.
Well, you know, it's interesting because in the Soviet Union, the 70 years of the Soviet Union rule, it was considered bourgeois if a woman did not work.
Okay.
Women were expected to work. They did. And also in the Soviet Union, women were educated always at the same level as men. There was no difference made. But, you know, something has shifted. And that is that now 86% of Russian women are enrolled in universities as compared to 64% of men. Okay, so what's going on there? There's another shift. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
Thank you for listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Profile America for the Black History Month. When she was little, Dominique Dawes had a lot of energy around her Silver Spring, Maryland house, so her parents sent her to gymnastics classes. She proved to be a special talent and began winning awards. Making the 1992 Olympic team, she came home with a bronze team medal. At the 1996 Olympics, she became the first African American to win an individual medal, a bronze for her floor exercise. She also won a team gold medal. She is the only American female gymnast to compete in three Olympics. Some 1,400 young women compete in gymnastics at 86 colleges across the U.S. This special Profile America for Black History Month is a public service of the U.S. Census Bureau.